A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 6th chapter, verses 1 through 39. Verse 1.
Shishuvacha evam stuta suraganaya bhagavan haririshara desham agravudrajan sahasrar kodayachati.
Shishukadeva Goswami said, O King Pariksha, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns.
Mukam makarati vachana pandalam ayate gani yakupandalam vande shi guru vidacharyam om jnana chimirandasya jnananjara shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha.
So what did we learn in chapter 5 yesterday? Yes? And we learned that all the different elements, sun, fire, air, ether, prana, are connected with Krishna.
And also that religion is in front of the Lord and irreligion is in the back.
Okay, religion is in the front and irreligion is in the back of the Lord. Why is that? Can't remember. Who remembers? Why is religion in front and irreligion in the back? Yes? Religion comes from the heart of the Lord. And the smiling face of the Lord is in the front. And irreligion, why is another reason why irreligion is in the back?
It's unwanted.
It's unwanted, yeah, that's a good reason. Put it back. What's another reason?
It destroys everything.
It destroys everything. Okay, who else is in back of the Lord?
Maya.
Maya stays in back. It's the shadow, back of the Lord. So that's why your religion. And do you remember the wheel that we saw? We had a picture of a wheel yesterday, which was the material body. Who can tell me something about that wheel? Yes?
The spokes are compared to the life airs.
Spokes are the life airs. And the senses. Mm-hmm. And what is the rim of the wheel?
In the center is
super so. Okay, that's the best part. And around the outside, there's the elements. And a little bit on the inside is the three modes of material nature. And what is moving this mental wheel of a mental chariot? What is moving this wheel? Yes. Material energy. Right. So we can choose which part of this mental wheel we would like to be situated in. But hopefully we will choose the middle part, where the super soul is. Okay? So today we have the demigods and demons declare a truce. But just like yesterday, what's going to happen as soon as the Lord appears?
Prayers.
We are having prayers every day, and we need it because we're in a fallen condition. So yesterday, the whole day, we were praying for the Lord to appear. And now the Lord has appeared. So again, we're going to pray to the Lord after his appearance. So let's see what the Lord looks like. Yes, Lord Brahma. Let's see. Brahma is praying again. Yesterday it was Lord. Yes, Lord Brahma is praying again because he called him. And so he will also pray to him to glorify him. So verse 2, the vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, nor even themselves, what to speak of seeing the Lord who is present before them. So anybody ever experienced that? You were blinded by some light. Nighttime, night driving, you're blinded, and when you're blinded, you can't see. So usually the light, it's supposed to mean when the light comes, then you see. But if there's too much light, then you can't see anything. If there's too much light, then you're finished. Your sight is finished. So this is what happens here with the demigods. The Lord came and he was blinding them with his effulgence. Verses 3 to 7. Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Maricutta gem. Anybody knows what is a Maricutta gem? Maricutta. No. Whose eyes are reddish like the depths of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful, smiling, lotus-like face, crowned by a helmet bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt on the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands. His neck is decorated with a Kaustubha gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons, like his disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, saw the form of the Lord, they all immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances. So the Lord has an effulgence, but he also has a form, and only two of the demigods could penetrate that effulgence and see the actual form of the Lord. And that was Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Thank you for your commentaries. So we got some commentaries here, glories of, by the mercy of Adi Purush. Thank you. So we'll read those commentaries as we go. So the demigods were blinded, except for Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. They could see the form of the Lord. So we are very fortunate, those who have been pujaris in the temple, that you're able to see and touch the form of the Lord. And one time, we used to take pictures of our deities in Calcutta, Radha Govinda. And our temple president, Gargamuni Maharaj, he was saying how every time we took a picture, the deities looked different. And I said, yes, actually, every second they're changing. If you sit and watch them the whole day, then you will see that there, every second there's a different expression on the Lord's face, actually, if you're really close to the deities. And you can see that they're not the same. They're changing. They're not stone, actually, but they're actually Krishna in person. The day that Prabhupada left the planet, and their expression was quite amazing, very soft, very compassionate, very, very deep. I have pictures, actually, of those days, the day we did the feast for Prabhupada and the day Prabhupada disappeared. And so the deities, it's Krishna, they're living, and we can experience the presence of Krishna when we serve him by service. And Jiva Goswami makes a comment on this verse, one of these verses, 3-7, that if you chant Hare Krishna, then when you're chanting, if you hear these descriptions of the Lord's form, then later when you're chanting, the form of the Lord will manifest while you're chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why it's very nice to concentrate and hear and remember these descriptions of the forms of the Lord. So then when we're actually practicing in our daily sadhana, then we can get the experience of the appearance of the Lord while we're chanting Hare Krishna in our japa. So we'll do verse 8. Shri Brahma Vacha Ajata Janma Stiti Samyamaya Kunaya Nirvana Sukarnavaya Anaranim Ne Pariganyatane Mahanubhavaya Nama Namaste. So Lord Brahma is beginning his prayers. Although, Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You're always free from material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme whose existence is inconceivable. So Krishna is never born, but he's always coming here. Your incarnations never cease. So there are so many contradictions when you hear about Krishna. As Queen Kunti said, ajanma and janma together. Ajasya kartar, can't remember the exact Sanskrit, but you are not born and you're born. And you are not doing anything and you're doing everything. And so ajata janma, here the word ajata janma. He's not born, but he's still coming here. He's always coming. Why is he coming? Yes. To give pleasure to the devotees. Yes. It's the only reason. He has nothing else to do. We learned that in yesterday's class. Only one work Krishna has is to please his devotees. That's the only thing. So, and you are free from material qualities, shelter of transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. Anandam buddhivartanam. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada picks out some Sanskrit words from the verse. The word arpadi gan yadhamne is very significant. There is no limit to a Lord's appearance in different incarnations. All of these incarnations are eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. And let's see what Sridhar Swami says about this. Though you have appeared, you are unborn. Your form is like not like ours. Why? Agu, Naya, Nirvana, Sukarnavaya, free from the modes and ocean of the bliss of Nirvana. And our bodies are full of the modes and the ocean of the misery of this material world. At the same time, you are smaller than the smallest, difficult to know. Your dhamma, form, is immeasurable. It is not impossible because Maha Anu Bhavaya, you are inconceivable even to the great. To you I bow down. So how is Krishna smaller than the smallest? It says he's smaller, yes?
He's within the atom.
He's in the atom. He's inside the atom, yes. I was hearing a class from Burijan today, and he was telling that the scientists, they have found a new particle in the atom, but they can't understand what it is, so they have called it the God particle. It is the new particle is the God particle. So actually now they have God in science. He's one of the little particles there that they don't understand. In fact, they don't understand anything. I don't know. That's what he was telling. It's the God particle. Yeah, so, yes. Actually, what do they understand? Even about this material world. They say there's no life on other planets. But we are hearing all these beautiful descriptions of the heavenly planets, and they have no idea. Because of pride, they think only this world has very wonderful scientists and human beings, but other places are like deserts. But this is not the fact. So here it says you are the most subtle, the most subtle. We heard in, I think it's in fourth canto, I don't have it. Yes, fourth or third canto. I don't have the reference here. There is one verse describing somebody. Which of the expansions of the Lord is described as very, very subtle? He's in charge of the very subtle material ingredients. It's one of the Chaturvyuha. I give you a hint. So you've got four choices. It's Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruta. Who's in charge of the very subtle? It's Sankarshan. Sankarshan, he's the origin of the subtle material ingredients, master of integration and disintegration. Sankarshan. Okay. We'll go to verse 9. O best of persons, O supreme director, those who actually aspire for supreme good fortune, worship this form of your lordship according to the Vedic tantras. My lord, we can see all the three worlds in you. Purport. Vedic mantras say, Yasmin vigate sarvam vigatam bhavati. When the devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his meditation, or when he sees the Lord personally face to face, he becomes aware of everything within this universe. Indeed, nothing is unknown to him. Everything within this material world is fully manifested to a devotee who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita therefore advises, Tadviti panipate na paripashne na sevaya upadekshite dhyanam gyanina statadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Lord Brahma is one of these self-realized authorities. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kamara Kapila Manu Palado Janako Bhishma Vayam Balir Vayasakir Vayam. One must therefore accept the supic succession from Lord Brahma, and then one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fullness. Here the word Vishvamurtau indicates everything exists in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is able to worship Him can see everything in Him and see Him in everything. So how do we get this perception of seeing Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna? Give me some verses. Yes. Yasti sarvani bhutani. What verse is that? I don't think. Isha Upanishad?
Yes.
Okay. Six. Okay. Jamashmi? No. Mavindapuri? Yo mam pashati sarvacha sarvam mayi pashati. Dasyaham? Shati. Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
6:30. Everything in me. Okay, that's what happens if you see Krishna everywhere. But how do you get to? Yes. Premanjana Shrita Bhakti Viloch. Okay. Yes, by prema. By prema we can see Krishna everywhere. Adipurush? Same. Okay, you agree. You agree. See Krishna everywhere by devotional service. So this verse proves that devotees are not ignorant. They know everything because they see Krishna. Okay, the comment of Sridhar Swami, to support that His form is eternal and immeasurable, Lord Brahma speaks this verse. O Creator, You are worshipped by Vedic and Tantric yogic methods for the highest achievements, meaning this, Your appearance, is not the first. Aren't You the Devas famous as worshipable personalities? True, but everybody is within this form. We see the three worlds in it as well as our own selves. And the reason for this is that you have a universal form. Therefore, your form is still undivided. That is the meaning. So who saw everything in Krishna? Who is that devotee? Yes?
Arjuna.
Arjuna saw everything in... Who else saw everything? Yashoda. Yashoda, Arjuna, they saw everything in Krishna. Okay? And we also hope to see one day. Verse 10. Tvayagra asit, tvayimadya asit, tvayanta asit idamant batantre, tamadiranta jagatasamadyam katasamitsneva para parasma. My dear Lord, who are always fully independent, this entire cosmic manifestation arises from You, rests upon You, and ends in You. Your Lordship is the beginning, sustenance, and end of everything. Like the earth, which is the cause of an earthen pot, which supports the pot, and to which the pot, when broken, finally returns. So Krishna is compared to what? The earth. Krishna is the earth. Okay, and what's the pot? Material manifestation. Okay, that's a good answer. So He's the cause, He's the earth, and the pot is this material world. He supports it, and He makes it, and when it's broken, it goes back to Him. So creation, maintenance, and destruction. And this is described in 4th canto, 11th chapter, 17th verse purport. There is a potter and a wheel and earthen pots. So the original cause is the potter, and that's the Supreme Lord. Jiva Goswami comments, para parasmad, higher than the highest, means you are higher than Brahman, the highest. Realizing You is higher than realizing Brahman. This is confirmed in 4:24-28, okay, as well as Vishnu Purana. Higher than the highest. So verse 11, we'll sing the Sanskrit. Tamayayatma shayaya swayedam nirmaya vishvam taranu pavishta shanti yukta manasamanishino guna vivaye pyagunam vipashtita. O Supreme, You are independent in Yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra, and who through the practice of Bhakti Yoga are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although you exist within the transformations of the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities. Okay, now don't look at your books or your computers and tell me what are the three qualifications to see Krishna described in this verse. Three qualifications. Who can see with clear minds? Those who are 1, 2, and 3. Hare Purush? Okay, those who see equally. That was actually, that was another verse. That was previous verse. Yeah. Yes, Madhavendra Puri. Those who can see that Krishna is present within the transformations. Okay. That although you exist in the transformations, that's one point. You are untouched. Okay. That's what they see. That's actually what they see. They see, but what is the qualification to have this vision? They can see that although you exist within the transformation, your present is untouched. So three qualifications. One is you're advanced in Krishna consciousness. Two, yeah? Yes, you practice by the practice of bhakti yoga are cleansed of all material contamination. And three, fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra. So you know Shastra, you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, and you're purified by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Three qualifications to see the Lord in everything. So if you wonder why you're not seeing Krishna everywhere and in everything, maybe one of these qualifications is lacking. Advanced in Krishna consciousness. Need a little bit more advancement. So three qualifications. Okay, so here it says, to see Krishna within the transformations of the material qualities. This is a very, very intricate verse, so it's good to get into it. You see Krishna, how Krishna exists within the transformations. So what does this practically mean, that you see Krishna within the transformations of the material world? What does that mean? If someone has this vision, then how will he see, actually? How does he see Krishna? Yes? He's directing the events, okay? He sees how he's the director of the events, yes? Janamashtami. He controls Kala. Okay. Okay, that's very good, because the transformations are under the control of Kala. So if you see how time is changing everything, then you can see the presence of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri? Okay. Yes, you have a reflection in a mirror, and the reflection can't move unless the sun moves. Yes. Yes. That's 11th canto. That he's glancing, he's continuously glancing on the material energy, and as soon as he removes his glance, then it won't work. Yes. When you see how the material energy in Kali Yuga is working, you think of Krishna.
And
there's a purpose. Yes, how the materialists are fried. Yeah, you see how they're like yourself, how devotees go through big traumas.
And then Krishna's hand is behind that.
And Krishna's hand is behind. Yeah, so to see how to see Krishna in the transformations is when something very heavy happens to you, and then you're able to see the hand of Krishna behind it. Yes. It's just like because you go through this thing and then afterwards when you actually see Krishna and how he's there, and then you're relieved actually. Yes, Marvin Puri. Yes, Dhruva overpowered by the Yakshas. Yeah, he pierced through. Yeah. So many. Right. Yes, we must have the faith that Krishna will come and he'll save us. He'll come and save us. Just like he's going to save he came to save the demigods. They were in trouble and they prayed, and now they're praying again since he has appeared. And when Krishna, another example is Krishna takes everything away and you have nothing. And all the things that you tried, that you thought were your shelters or the ways that you could maintain yourself in this world, they're all taken away. And then what do you have left? Then Krishna comes. Then you see Krishna. Oh, actually, he's the one that was there all the time. And he's the only one. So that's why these things happen, because then we can see where our real shelter lies and who our real friend is in times of danger. So commentary on verse 11. If somebody objects, the example of the clay and the pot does not tally with the statement you are higher than the highest. We say this verse, verse 11, you create this universe by your own external energy dependent upon you, known as matter in the form of material cause. As confirmed in SB 11:16-37, you enter in these, both dividing your form and remaining undivided in your inconceivable potency. Okay, so now we're going to hear some nice examples how to actually get the mercy of Krishna. So listen carefully. This is verse 12, how to get the mercy. Three examples. As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity and livelihood from industrial enterprises. So, by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. So we all want the favor of Krishna. We all want to intelligently approach Krishna. Here are four examples how. I wonder how, of course, by practicing bhakti yoga. So some people, they want fire. So they get wood and they light the fire and they get fire. Some people want milk, so they milk the cow. Some people want food and water, so they dig in the land. And some people want wealth, so they go and do some business. And some people want Krishna, and so they do bhakti in the same way that these other people work hard in the material world and do things. We also worship Krishna. So what can we get from bhakti yoga? Prabhupada explains in the purport. Beginning, although the Supreme Personality of God is nirguna, not to be found within this material world, the entire material world is pervaded by him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Mayatatam midam sarvam. Material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy, and the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon him. Matstani sarvabhutani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here. Nachahang te shvavastitaha. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of bhakti yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice bhakti yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Moreover, one can begin bhakti yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, spiritual master, and Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the practice of bhakti yoga can one achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Sanda Santasadeva Hideyeshu Vilokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other methods, such as karma, jnana, or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate bhakti yoga. Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Then, even within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamam jana triyavan nishasmita tataha. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhaktyaham akaya kaya. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. In this verse, cultivation of bhakti yoga is compared to many material activities. So we heard four different activities. Which one is the most important that Prabhupada is going to stress in the purport, Janmashtami? Getting the milk from the cow, from the milk bag of the cow. So here is a chance for Prabhupada to blast the materialists. Here he says that milk is compared to nectar which one can drink to become immortal. So if everybody wants to become immortal, you just have to drink milk. It's nectar, Prabhupada says. Of course, simply drinking milk will not make one immortal, but it can increase the duration of one's life. So milk will help you increase the duration of your life. In modern civilization, men do not think milk to be important. Therefore, they do not live very long. Although in this age, men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. So why are people living short lives? Because they don't drink milk. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, instead of drinking milk, people prefer to slaughter an animal and eat its flesh. So we go to paragraph 3, near the end. One should take ample milk, and thus one can prolong one's life, develop his brain, execute devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Four good reasons why to drink milk. It says, you can prolong your life, develop your brain, execute devotional service, and get the favor of the Lord by drinking milk. Very simple way. Bhakti yoga is simple for the simple. Okay? Then paragraph 4, near the end. The so-called Vaishyas, industrialists or businessmen, are involved in big industrial enterprises. They are not interested in food grains and milk. However, as indicated here, by digging for water, even in the desert, we can produce food grains. When we produce food grains and vegetables, we can give protection to the cows. While giving protection to the cows, we can draw from them abundant quantities of milk. And by getting enough milk and combining it with food grains and vegetables, we can prepare hundreds of nectarian foods. We can happily eat this food and thus avoid industrial enterprises and joblessness. Agriculture and cow production are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. Those who are sinful cannot be attracted by devotional service. So remember, one of the qualifications for seeing God is to become sinless. And Prabhupada is saying agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless. And most of the people are Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhakya. He quotes that verse. So the only way is Harinam. So chant and protect the cows. But people, it's very difficult. Prabhupada said the ideal is that 3 months you cultivate the land, and then 9 months you're free to cultivate spiritual life. And Burijan is joking, you know, what will we do for 9 months? Nothing to do. No shopping. We're stuck on the farm. And what are you going to do for 9 months? So chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. So I have something here. Oh, must be in a different purport. Anyway, I have all about milk somewhere. Thought it was in this purport, but I guess not. So we'll hear about it later. All the good qualities of milk and how it's going to help you in spiritual life. What do they have against milk, actually? Yes. I don't know. Huh? A pint a day. How much is that in a liter? Is that a liter? No. Huh? Quarter? Half liter? Half liter? Is it too much milk? Is rajasic? Half pint. So maybe he's just going to the opposite extreme to encourage people. Huh? Every day you must drink. Yes. Without fail. So somewhere in some purport I'll give you some glories of milk. Maybe it's in chapter 7. It's in one of these verses. Okay, verse 13. An analogy. Elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganga. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. So this also supports the fact that he didn't see the Lord for a long time. or hasn't seen him. Purport Prabhupada says, devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand the Lord come before them, for a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in Shishastika, Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotuva. Devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face, but if he is brokenhearted because he cannot see the Lord even life after life, he will never command the Lord to appear. This is a sign of pure devotion. The Prabhupada always talks about these people. They sing some song about Gopal, please come in front of me dancing. Nachi, nachi. But no, that is not the mood of a pure devotee. It's not the sign of a pure devotee. Therefore, in this verse, we find the word ati chira ipsita artam, meaning the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he had no desire to ask the Lord for any benediction. Indeed, simply by seeing the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt so satisfied he did not want to ask the Lord for any benediction. Saminkitatosmi varamnayache. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so he can see the Lord face to face. So when we're away from the deities for some time, then we may feel separate. We may feel this even now when we're away from Vrindavan or we have some favorite deities and then we're away from those deities, then we're feeling separation. We want to see the Lord. So then when you come back and you see them after a long time, you feel very, very happy. Verse 14. My Lord, we, the various demigods, directors of this universe, have come to your lotus feet. Now the request is coming. We had some short prayers, and now the request. Please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. He's not telling him what he wants him to do. He's not ordering him, but he's just saying, please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. You are the witness of everything, from within and without. Nothing is unknown to you, and therefore it is unnecessary to inform you again of anything. So let's see. 14. We have a commentary by Sridhar Swami. If the Lord asks, what boon do you want? Tell me. Lord Brahma says, O super soul in the heart, you are the witness. What do we have to declare externally? What do we need to do? We don't have to tell you. So he knows the need. Purport, three lines down. Since he is the witness of everyone's body, nothing is unknown to him. He knows what we need. Our duty, therefore, is to execute devotional service sincerely under the direction of the spiritual master. Krishna, by his grace, will supply whatever we need in executing our devotional service. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we simply have to execute the order of Krishna and Guru. Then all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. Anybody have experience where you just do your service and Krishna gives you whatever you need? Parvati has experience. Janamashtami, Adi Purush, yes? What did he give you? Everything, okay? Last 17 years, he just gives you everything. You don't even have to ask. Very good. Yes? What does he give you?
I have experience.
You have experience, okay?
I was doing nicely service and he took away everything.
He took away everything from you. He didn't give you anything, including service. Wow. You have the opposite experience. Okay. And what's the result of that opposite experience that he took everything away?
Yes, after some time, he turned everything much better.
Then everything became better.
Much
more opportunity came after. Yeah, he does it for a reason, you know, when we're stuck in a certain mentality or attitude, then he takes everything away and he makes us. What happened? Then we have to change our attitude. We have to change our perspective on things. Isn't it Jamashmi? Yes, you had something? Same.
Yeah, I mean, I've always experienced that. I've never had to worry about my material needs.
You never had to worry about your material needs since you became a devotee.
Sometimes I'd have to
Yeah, you don't worry because you endeavor quite extensively. Yes. It's not that we just sit there and wait for everything to fall on our head like the python. It's not our philosophy. We have to endeavor. Okay. So here is a comment by Brijam Prabhu on this verse. He's quoting Gaur Govind Maharaj. Gaur Govind Maharaj used to say, "Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink." What does that mean? Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. That's a famous poet said that, actually, some English writer.
The ocean.
The ocean. But what does it mean to, in application to us, as applied to us, devotees? Jamashmi? Yeah, Ancient Mariner. It's a poem. That he was in the ocean, shipwrecked, or he was in a raft, and he couldn't. So he was surrounded by water, but he couldn't drink it because it was ocean water. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We know better. Okay, we're surrounded by the material energy. Everyone else is trying to enjoy it, but we know better, so we don't drink that. It's quite an interesting comment. Actually, what he said is that Krishna's mercy is everywhere, but our eyes are shut and our back is turned. So there's water everywhere, but because we're not, we don't think it's water. We think it's the ocean instead of real water. Then we don't drink the mercy. In fact, we're afraid of we're reluctant to accept the mercy when it comes. So there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says Krishna provides everything for the devotee. What is that verse? Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana payupasate tesha nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So who is this devotee that Krishna provides everything? Prabhupada says, one who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, be engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving lotus feet, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so his only desire is to achieve association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back. He helps him achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. When he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life. So not only is the Lord taking care of our material needs, he's protecting us from falling down into material life. So this is the merciful protection of the Lord. In verse 15, I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods, accompanied by the Prajapatis, like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you who are the original fire. We have a picture of this today, the sparks in the fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmins and demigods. So he's not saying specifically that the demons have taken over and we want you to come and save us and do this, this and that. He's being very general here. He's leaving it up to the Lord, the means of deliverance. How do we know what's good for us? We don't know. So you give us the means that is suitable for the Brahmins and the demigods. So you can pray like that sometimes if you want Krishna to help you. Please give me the means that is suitable please save me by the means suitable for Brahmins and demigods. A nice prayer by Lord Brahma. In this verse, the word Dvija Deva Mantram is very important. The word mantra means that which delivers one from the material world. Only the Dvijas, Brahmins, and Devas, demigods, can be delivered from material existence by the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a mantra and is suitable for delivering conditioned souls from mental speculation. Then Prabhupada talks about mantras. He says the beginning mantra is Gayatri Mantra. Therefore, after purification, when one is qualified to become a Brahmin, Dvija, he is offered Gayatri Mantra. Simply by chanting Gayatri Mantra, one can be delivered. This mantra, however, is suitable only for Brahmins and demigods. In Kali Yuga, we are all in a very difficult position in which we need a suitable mantra that can deliver us from the dangers of the sage. Therefore, Supreme Personality of Godhead, His incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, gives us Hare Krishna mantra. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nishteva, 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 Gacharanyata. So as before, we were hearing Sarvadharma Pritaja in every purport. Now we're going to be hearing Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama in every purport, almost. Many, many. The last purport, also this purport. You're hearing Hari Nama, Hari Nama. This is the only means of deliverance. So Prabhupada says in the last paragraph, we cannot invent any means to be delivered from the dangers of material existence. Here even the demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and Prajapatis like Daksha are said to be like illuminating sparks in the presence of the Supreme Lord, who is compared to a great fire. So here we have our fire over here, and we have some sparks that are in the fire along with the Lord. Of course, actually, those sparks, Lord Shiva and Brahma are not in the fire. These are the living entities in the spiritual world. They're in the fire. They're up there in the clouds in the material world there, but they're very illuminating because there's no fire there. It's just the smoke. So therefore, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and the demigods, they're illuminating the smoke, the material world. But they're only illuminating in the presence of the Lord. Sparks are beautiful as long as they are in the fire. Similarly, we have to remain in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always engage in devotional service, and then we shall always be brilliant and illuminating. So if we stay in the fire, then we get so much effulgence of Krishna. We get Krishna's fire, and then we become also illuminating because we're part of the big fire. So we always have to stay in Krishna's association. As soon as we fall from the service of the Lord, our brilliance and illumination will immediately be extinguished or at least stopped for some time. So again, he stresses, we must take the mantra from the Lord as offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we shall be delivered from all difficulties of this material world. So the verse says, give us the means of deliverance suitable for brahmanas and demigods. Dvija Deva Mantram, and Prabhupada explains what is this Dvija Deva Mantram, what is this means that is suitable, and that's chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this order to everyone who is in his disciplic succession, distribute Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, let people eat these fruits and become free from old age and death. So we're trying to distribute and make everybody deathless. And that is the purpose of our movement. So verse 16. This is the end of Lord Brahma's prayers. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Lord was thus offered prayers by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they had approached him. Therefore, in a deep voice that resembled the rumbling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands. 17. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Master of the Demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods by himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows. So he could have gone and got rid of all the demons, but that's no fun. He wanted to have some fun churning the ocean of milk. It's a lot more fun to have a pastime and get rid of the demons in that way. And so, therefore, this is how the Lord thinks. Let's have some fun. Let's have a nice pastime now. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods, please hear me with great attention, for what I say will bring good fortune for all of you. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. Purport. One word in this verse has two readings, Kalena and Kavyena. Kalena means favored by time, and Kavyena means favored by Shukacharya. Shukacharya being the spiritual master of the Daityas. The demons and Daityas were favored in both ways. Therefore, the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce for the time being, until time favored them. O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important, one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Before we go there, we'll read some more commentaries here. There's one more, and that is verse 15. Dvija Deva Mantram. So, Sridhar Swami comments, if the Lord says, just do something yourself, then Lord Brahma says this verse, what do we know? How can we? We don't know what to do. Please instruct us about the means of achieving the highest good by saying, do this. So now the Lord is saying, do this. You make a truce with the demons. Purport. Snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since the mouse is food for the snake, this was a good opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of the snake and the mouse. So now we know the logic of the snake and mouse. In terms of what's happening here, well, how do we apply this logic to what's going on between the demons and the demigods? Yes, Hari Purush? So the demigods are trying to defeat the demons. They're the snake. Okay, you do something together, and then after the demons make the hole in the basket, then the demigods will eat the demons and escape. Yes? Take the help of the demons to destroy the demons. So you take the help of the mouse to eat the mouse. Because what's the fun of eating if you're stuck in the basket and you're going to die? So you get the mouse to help you get out. Yes, and this story is told somewhere. I read it. I don't know, Mahabharata or one of those tantras. Hitopadesh, maybe. So what actually happened was the mouse was also very intelligent. And so the mouse was eating through, and I think it was a cat and a mouse, the story that I read, not a snake and a mouse, cat and a mouse. So very slowly the mouse was chewing and chewing and chewing. There was one string left. And finally the mouse chewed it and ran very far. So then the mouse was in his hole, the cat was out, and the cat was calling, oh, come, friend mouse. Now we are friends, so you should come and visit me. But no. And the mouse was preaching, no, now I cannot trust you anymore. So anyway, yes. In terms of Leela, actually, what does this mean? That the demigods will get the nectar. Of course, both the demons and demigods are thinking of the same logic. The demons are thinking, yes, we will use the demigods and we will get the nectar. And demigods are thinking, we will use the demons and we will get the nectar. So both are having the same idea. Yes, we'll cooperate, but we will get the result. Okay. So, huh?
You can see that demigods are also mixed.
You can see?
That they are mixed.
Yeah, they are mixed. They are mixed in their intentions. They are not actually... It's not pure here. It's not pure. But the difference is the Lord is telling them. So they are following the instructions of the Lord. Of course they do. And they will get it because the Lord is on their side. And that's the difference between demigods and demons, that the demigods worship the Lord. So verse 21. Immediately endeavor to produce nectar which a person who is about to die may drink to become immortal. O demigods, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers, and drugs. Then with my help, making Mandara Mountain the churning rod and Vasuki the rope for churning, churn the ocean of milk with undiverted attention. Thus the demons will be engaged in labor, but you, the demigods, will gain the actual result, the nectar produced from the ocean. My dear demigods, with patience, oh, there's a purport here. In 22:23, it appears when different kinds of drugs, creepers, grass, and vegetables are put into this milk, and the milk is churned as milk is churned for butter, the active principles of the vegetables and drugs mix with the milk, and the result is nectar. So how to get the recipe for this? I'm sure it's in Ayurveda. If you look into Ayurvedic scriptures, you'll find the recipe for nectar. Verse 24. My dear demigods, With patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal. Brijaya makes an interesting comment. In our devotional service, things may be churned, opulences may come to us, but we should be mindful of our real goal and not be distracted. So don't be agitated and don't try to grab the things that come. This is the lesson from this instruction. Verse 25, a poison known as Kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry. So how to churn, he's telling them. Purport. It appears that by the churning process, many things will be generated from the ocean of milk, including poison, valuable gems, nectar, and many beautiful women. The demigods were advised, however, not to be greedy for the gems or beautiful women, but to wait patiently for the nectar. The real purpose was to get the nectar. Verse 26. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, after advising the demigods in this way, the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities, disappeared from their presence. Then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Maharaj Abali. So Lord Brahma and Shiva, they were involved in praying and getting the Lord to come, but now it appears that they went back home and the other demigods are going to go and make the truce. Verse 28, Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them. Purport. Vedic injunction enjoins Grihe Shatrum Api Prakta Vishvastam Akutobayam. When enemies come to their opponent's place, they should be received in such a way they will forget there is animosity between the two parties. Bali Maharaj was well conversant with the arts of peacemaking and fighting. Thus he received the demigods very well, although his commanders and captains were agitated. This kind of treatment was prevalent even during the fight between the Pandavas and Kurus. During the day, the Pandavas and Kurus would fight with the utmost strength, and when the day was over, they would go to each other's camps as friends and be received as such. During such friendly meetings, one enemy would offer anything the other enemy wanted. That was the system. So there was one example from Mahabharata. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev was challenged by Duryodhana that you're not fighting nicely. You're not fighting with the Pandavas. So he said, okay, I have 5 special arrows. I have kept very and worshipped very nicely. If I will keep these 5 arrows and you keep them. He gave me, Duryodhana, you keep these arrows and tomorrow I promise you I will kill the 5 Pandavas with these 5 arrows. So Duryodhana said, yes, give them to me. I'll keep them very nicely. Meanwhile, in the opposite camp, Krishna, who is omniscient, said to Arjuna, remember when Duryodhana told you once that he would give you anything you want, one boon? He says, now is your chance. Go to Duryodhana and ask him for those 5 arrows. So Arjuna went to the opposite camp and Duryodhana received him very nicely. He said, yes, what do you want? Do you want to have the kingdom without fighting? Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom. Just one thing I want. You remember you promised me a boon. He said, yes, what do you want? He says, I just want those 5 arrows. And he said, okay, take the 5 arrows. So their word of honor they would always keep. Duryodhana gave to Arjuna. Yeah. Bhishma Dev, yeah. And so this was going on. And there was another example in Ramayana. Vibhishana, when he came to surrender to Ram, then all the monkeys were against him. The Sugriva, he's saying, no, he's evil, we have to kill him, we should kill him immediately. And so Ram asked all the monkeys, they all agreed except Hanuman. Hanuman said, no, I didn't see anything evil. And besides, an enemy should be treated very nicely. So then Ram said, I cannot refuse to receive a person who has sought my shelter. Whatever his intentions, I must accept him. This is never condemned in the eyes of good people. And Sugriva is saying, "What? Who cares if his intentions are good or bad? He's a Rakshasa and he will revert to his own nature. And if he can abandon his own brother, how can we trust him as our friend?" And so then Ram gives his very famous famous statement that if a person comes seeking shelter, if he says only once, "I am yours," I will give him courage and protection from all danger. This is my solemn vow. Even if Ravana came to me, I would not refuse him. So he said, "Bring Vibhishan here, I've already given him safety." Now this is the Lord's mind. Very, very compassionate, very wonderful. So verse 29, the demigods approached Bali Maharaj, son of Virochan, and sat down near him. Bali Maharaj was protected by the commanders of the demons and was most opulent, having conquered all the universes. After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Shambhara and Aristanemi, and by all the other residents of Tripura. It's a familiar name, Shambhara demon. Purport, Prabhupada says, it appears from this verse that politics, diplomacy, propensity to cheat, and everything we find in this world in individual and social negotiations between two parties are also present in the upper planetary systems. Does that surprise you?
No.
No. But you were surprised the other day. The other day you were surprised that, you know, that there was danger up there.
Yes.
Cheating you? Okay. Okay. The demigods went to Bali Maharaj with a proposal to manufacture nectar, and the daityas, demons, immediately accepted it, thinking, since the demigods are already weak, when the nectar is produced, the demons will take it from them and use it for their own purposes. The demigods, of course, had similar intentions. The only difference is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, was on the side of the demigods, because the demigods were his devotees, whereas the demons did not care about Lord Vishnu. All over the universe, there are two parties, the Vishnu party or God-conscious party and the godless party. The godless party is never happy or victorious, but the God-conscious party is always happy and victorious. So, again, I heard from Burijan. Burijan one time asked Srila Prabhupada this question, that, well, if our nature is to serve, and our only choice is to serve, we can serve Krishna directly, or we can serve Krishna indirectly. And why bother with all this trouble? Why just enjoy? Why not just serve him in the, you know, any way you like? So what's the answer to that question? Why we serve Jamashmi? Very good. Right, no perfection, no happiness, and no something else, nasasiddhim.
No
goal. Yes, and that was Prabhupada's answer. He said, well, the difference is that if you serve Krishna directly, you'll be happy. And if you don't, then you won't get happiness. That's the difference, only difference. We heard a verse, I think, recently. It says people are frustrated, they work hard, and they get frustration. Devotees don't work hard, and they get everything. So that's Krishna conscious, Krishna consciousness, devotional service. Verse 32, O Maharaj Pariksha, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Armistice, everybody knows?
Truce.
Truce means truce, peace. No, ceasefire. Ceasefire. No more shooting. Then, with great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and had long, stout arms, uprooted Mandara Mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk. So, just where is this Mandara Mountain located? According to 5th Canto, surrounding Sumeru, there are four mountains. And these four mountains are Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparsha, and Kumuda. Each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. So it's one of the foothills right around Sumeru. So they went to Sumeru and uprooted Mandara Mountain. And let's see where they're going to take it, verse 34. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Mahesh Bali, and the other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons. The Prabhupada says, by constitution, gold is heavier than stone, since Mandara mountain was made of gold and was therefore heavier than stone. The demigods and demons cannot properly carry it to the ocean of milk. Verse 36. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda. Observing that most of the demons and demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. So Garuda is very strong. He took the mountain and the demigods and the demons and the Lord on his back. Yes, so how big must Garuda be?
1 million miles.
He's 1 million miles? Yeah, how do you know? Fifth canto. Garuda is 1 million miles. Wow. Or is that... He can expand, yes. He can expand. 1 million miles. Garuda. Bigger than this earth planet, according to the scientists' calculation. But not bigger than Bhumandala. So anyway, Garuda is very big. Just imagine something that big flying around.
He can just suck in the ocean.
Yes. We cannot imagine the strength of Garuda. So Garuda is very powerful. Purport, Prabhupada says, here is proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. And now he talks about the difference in the beliefs of between the demons and the demigods. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so we'll go down. It says, Prabhupada says an interesting statement, a few lines down. The demigods' devotees would immediately accept incident, knowing the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it might be. But although the demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say that it is mythological. Mythological. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain, since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of Mandara mountains? Why can't he lift one of them with his hand? Not only he lift it, but Garuda can carry it. So demons say it's all by chance, and the demigods say it's the arrangement of the Lord. So these are two different viewpoints of how things are happening in this world. Verse 39, and we'll discuss this later in the next class on the seventh chapter. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. And why was he asked to leave? Yes.
Because Vasuki
is going to have to come there and be the churning rope that goes around Mandara Mountain. And Garuda is not a vegetarian, Srila Prabhupada says. He's not a vegetarian. It's funny because we have these dogs next door to our house, Bridget Bihari's dogs. And they're also, somebody was surprised that the dog was eating a bird one day. I said, yeah, he's not a vegetarian. This dog is not a vegetarian. You might think that the dogs in Vrindavan are vegetarians, but it's not true. Even though they may be Vaishnavas of sorts, they're not vegetarians. So Garuda, he's a Vaishnava, but he's not vegetarian. There's a history behind it, of course. There was a competition, we won't go into it, between his mother and the mother of the snakes. And the result was that he got the snakes as his food. So Vasuki is one of them, natural food for Garuda, the chief of birds. So he asked Garuda to leave. And then Prabhupada gets into this accident again. Nothing takes place by accident. Carrying Mandara mounted on the back of a bird and putting in its right position might be difficult for anyone, whether demigod or demon, but for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible as shown by this pastime. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. So this happened in Krishna Leela in the pastime of Trinavarta, that his mother was holding him, and then he was feeling heavier than the universe. She had to put him down. And then Trinavarta came, and he came lighter than cotton the next minute. When Trinavarta came, he came so light that Trinavarta could lift him high in the air. But then again, he became heavier than the universe, and Trinavarta became smashed on the stone. So this is Krishna as he likes, make himself heavy or light. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using words like accident, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. Everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshina Pakiti Suyati Sachara Charam. So, accident. What is the argument against the accident or chance theory of whatever these people believe? Chance. Yes, Adiprush. There's no such thing as chance. Yes. Yes. If you say there's chance, it just means you're ignorant of the cause. Well, why? How? Yes. And what else? The name of, literary name of God, when he doesn't want to sign, is chance.
When he doesn't want to sign.
He doesn't want to sign. You know, the artist makes something and then he signs the picture. But if you don't, yes. So you don't know who made the picture. So you say, okay, it's a chance, but actually it's God, because he didn't sign the anyway. Figure it out. He said, who's the name of that author? Anna? Anatola?
French.
Okay. What is another argument against chance? Yes? That we know. So what's the argument against it? Okay. They have theories.
When the foundation took place,
right.
These so big scientists and so big...
They cannot explain how. That's what Prabhupada...
Explain by his theory.
Okay.
How this whole
manifestation took place. There's an argument. They can't explain Jamashtami. Yes.
This building.
Exactly. Logical argument. Yeah, so the example is this building. It's not like there was a huge explosion and all the bricks came together and the windows came and all the floor came as a result of the explosion, a chance explosion. No, there was an architect, designer, and so many workmen. It's not like it just happened by chance.
So therefore, something might,
Yeah, if you just examine one eye, the eye of your body, so sophisticated. Complicated.
By chance.
By chance. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense.
To an intelligent person. Yes. Sir, Domino.
How is possible there are laws if there is chance or how?
How is possible?
There are laws of nature.
There are laws of nature. Yes. Why do they say there are laws of nature if everything's done by chance? Now, how can you say there are laws? That's a good one. That's a good argument. Yes? Yes. Oh, okay. Well, here's the real reason why they support the law of chance, because if they won't get money from the government. Yes. They keep it because if they have this theory, then they get money for it. But the other theory that God created, they won't get, where will their money go? They won't be funded as scientists anymore. Now we got the reason behind why they say they are supporting these theories. Exactly. Yes. That's a different chance. That's a different meaning of chance. Chance, the other meaning is accident. And this meaning of chance is opportunity. Opportunity. So you don't get confused. No, not it's. You think by accident you're going to get mercy? Yes. Oh, very good. Let's all do it. Where is that accident? Yes, but you think that was by accident? Yes, no, it's not accident. It's not chance. See, yeah, actually, it's just a... It's English. It's a matter of your English understanding, that's all. Yeah, different meaning of chance. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Oh, yes, Samarvan Puri, and then 1, 2, 3. Well, he's a representative of the demigods. Well, the question is, why is it saying that the demigods are praying, but actually Lord Brahma is the one who's praying? But actually we understand it's the demigods came to him. And so as a representative of the demigods, then he prays. He's the leader of the disciplic succession, is the way Prabhupada put it in the purports. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. Yes. Yes, but anyway, that's technical. He's a representative. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Yeah. Only they could see. Okay, next, Jayini Thakur. Yeah, why are the demigods?
Doesn't they know that if they would ask for bhakti, then all the problems would go away?
Okay, we'll send you to the heavenly planets to preach. So his question is, why are the demigods asking for something material? Don't they know that if you just ask for bhakti, then everything is, you'll get everything? So what is the answer to that question, Prashanta? Okay, Prashanta's answer is that spiritual intelligence is different from material qualification. They are pious, okay. They don't have that realization. What does it mean to be a demigod, actually? What is the mentality? Lila Madhuri. Okay, they have their position due to their controlling mentality, but at the same time, yeah, they have a sense of responsibility. So, yeah, you could also see it in another way, that they're trying to do their service. They're trying to do their service of managing the universe, and now the demons have taken over the management, you know, unlawfully. And so, help. So they, you know, first they go to Brahma, he's the highest among them, and then Brahma goes to a higher authority. And so, that's one reason. And there are still more, yes?
So that sense of judgment?
Yeah, they are actually Sakama Bhaktas. They are Sakama Bhaktas. They have mixed desires. Yes?
Maybe they think that.
Yes, it could be. It could be that way. It could be like that. They are thinking that, yes, this is my service to Krishna, but at the same time, they're missing their nice palaces and things and where they're, you know, and their wealth and all these.
Influenced by the motive.
Yes, yes. The motive of goodness. They're in motive of goodness, and demons are in motive of passion, ignorance. So they have that mixture. They have a mixture of goodness. Okay. Oh, wait, Dhamma Krishna has something to say. And more attached to service than Krishna. Yeah, well, I don't want to speak for the demigods. We should find some references somewhere that explain their mentality. Yes, Marvin Puri?
In 5.18.21.
They're not Sakama. Okay, so they're not Sakama Bhaktas. That's why I didn't want to say anything. Okay, so this is the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Arto and Artarti are not Sakama Bhaktas.
Although
they appear to be. But somebody else would say they are. Okay, they're just neophyte and ignorant devotees.
But
he doesn't call them Sakama. So we should be careful when we talk about the demigods. Yes, Adi Purush. Okay, so they're just like Krishna. They want to have fun too. They want Leela with the Lord. So their motivation is also Leela. That's why they're begging the Lord to come, so they can have some Leela with him. Because they know it won't be boring. He won't just come and do it all himself, you know. Of course, he will do it all himself, but not directly. Not directly. More indirectly. We'll see how he does it in the next chapter, how he does it indirectly. Directly and indirectly. He helps them, but it's not that he does it all himself, but he helps them. He helps the demigods, and he even helps the demons, and he helps Vasuki, he helps everyone in the Leela, because everyone gets really tired and while churning the ocean of milk. So the Lord, he helps all of them to continue in this Leela. Okay, and next, did you have a question, Adipurush, or did you have a comment?
Yeah, regarding milk.
Milk, okay.
A true story
about milk. Okay, glories of milk. Ekanath from Sweden.
From Germany.
From
the
scholar. Oh. Ekanath, a scholar. Which farm?
Almix,
okay. He was running the Swedish... Okay, this devotee, Ekanath, was running the Swedish farm for years without touching any books. He couldn't understand anything from the Shastra. Two words. Then he went on a milk diet.
He would only buy anything else.
Only milk without anything else. A few liters a day.
For a year or two.
For 1 or 2 years.
And he became such a scholar.
So any of you who have that desire, there's one way to become a great scholar, and that's just drink milk and nothing else. And there's another way, Prabhupada said too, for Srimad Bhagavatam, he says if you sing a chapter a day, then you'll become, after 1 year, you'll become a great scholar in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Every day,
one chapter you sing.
Yeah,
right.
You'll cover
the whole Bhagavatam.
1 year.
A chapter a day of the Bhagavatam. You can do only the slokas, yeah? That's all. You just sing it every day. Easy, no? No. Not easy.
Did you do?
Yeah, I used to do. I used to do Bhagavad Gita every day, the whole Gita, singing. When I was doing book distribution in Bombay, I would go door to door. I would take the train from Juhu to the Bombay city with a cart, in one of those pull carts of books. On the way, I would sing the whole Gita. On the way from Juhu to...
On the train,
yeah. I would sing it. And if I didn't finish, and I would sing it on... Usually it took me 45 minutes. So 45 minutes going, and then again coming back 45 minutes. So twice. I had this little in Sanskrit. I had in Sanskrit, and I just... read. And then I go distribute books, and then I come back and go on the train and do it on the way back. And Bhagavatam, I was doing Bhagavatam. I was doing a chapter a day, pretty much. Because, I think it's the explanation maybe why I'm speaking now. I don't know why. I always think, what am I doing?
Did you do any
milk fasts? No. No. I did this other thing, singing every day. Singing. Singing every day Bhagavatam, a chapter, yes. Not even a whole chapter. I was just singing like prayers. I was choosing the prayers, and I would just sing one of the prayers every day from the different devotees in Bhagavatam. So I would just sing this one's prayer, that one prayers, that one prayers. Or like important chapters, like second chapter, first canto. Yeah, used to do that. Yeah, I used to do Gita, whole Gita, every day. Yeah. He didn't say about Gita. But if you read Gita Mahatmya, you just do one line and you're going back to Godhead. If you just sing one line every day. And that's why Prabhupada had his Gita classes. Sing one verse every day. And if you just sing one verse in your whole life, you're supposed to go back to God. There's all these wild stories about someone who sang a half a line of Gita or one line of Gita and the Vishnudutas come and he goes, yes, Jamashmi.
I have a conception that the sadhus of Veda culture
live on milk. Yes, it's true. Haribo? Yes. We see that the sadhus used to live on milk.
Nothing else. Shukadeva
Goswami, that was his. And Prabhupada says sadhus did that. They would go to the householders, beg milk, and that would be there. I think also the Goswamis, little buttermilk, little butter. Aditi did Payovrat. She will do, you will hear. Yes. Acha, live on milk and dates. I don't know. Okay.
I'm a little confused.
Jamashmi.
I'm a little
Oh, don't drink too much milk. Anyway, you can talk to Adi Purush after the class.
Some
fruits. 1 liter. Okay, according to our authority in Ayurveda, Lilalar Gupta, you can have 1 liter of milk and some fruits every day. And liter is not too much. Prashanta. In Ayurveda, one of the rejuvenation cures is milk fast. And you can... goes for several weeks in South India in the hospitals, and they increase the quantity.
After drinking actually a huge quantity.
After drinking a huge quantity, and then you go down. Okay. There you go.
Lots of liters.
5 liters, 10 liters?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you have to... It's not recommended to try this yourself. But you should this be under the guidance of a doctor if you want to do your milk fast.
He said we should not drink more than half a liter at one time.
At one time, no more than half a liter. Bad for the liver. Okay, especially for those who have lived in India for years and years. Yes.
Mouse and snake. So I will in this way.
Don't worry, Bali Maharaj will get his chance later on in this canto. And he will become a hero of the demons, of the devotees and the demons.
But in this particular case, I'm just asking.
You're asking, shouldn't we feel sorry for the demons? They work so hard, and they're not getting any... They're getting cheated by Mohini Murti.
No, if we're cheating, so somebody can cheat us. So
yes.
So this is culture of cheating.
But we are not cheating. Who is cheating?
Demigods cheating?
No.
Demons?
No. Demigods are not cheating. They're not cheating. Who is going to cheat the demons? Mohini Murti. Mohini Murti came, and Buddha came for the same purpose, to cheat the atheists and demons. So Krishna can cheat. Krishna can cheat. Yeah, but we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't try and cheat. That is not our philosophy. We should be in the mode of goodness. We don't imitate Prabhupada and we don't follow these kind of Prabhupada says we don't do. Well, maybe he said, but we have to take this in context. Yeah. Anyway, find the verse. Find the verse, and then I'll believe you. He says so many things, but we have to be in the mode of goodness. See, that's the point. That's the point. Of course not.
Krishna gives never. Order to cheat demons.
Yeah, if you can see Krishna face to face,
no.
Then you can do. Of course not.
Huh?
I already told you, no. You should not cheat. We are acting in the mode of goodness.
Yes.
This is our behavior. Mohini Murti can cheat. The demigods, they're not cheating. They're sitting in the line. They're not taking the nectar. They didn't touch the nectar. They didn't go and cheat the demons.
Rahu cheated.
Rahu cheated, yes. Rahu cheated.
Rahu cheated.
Yeah, he sat in the demigod's line.
This is a demon's natural attitude to cheat others. But okay. Should we also follow to them? He cheated me, I cheat him.
Okay, Janamashtami. Okay. Order in the court. Janamashtami. Okay, Janamashtami. Yes, if there is dishonesty, will we be set?
And then that money will be taken away.
Money will be taken away.
Even more?
Yes. Unless...
Something like that. I remember that from my years in book.
Yeah, that's true. So he was trained in book distribution, and he was taught not to cheat. If you are Mohini Murti or Buddha, then you can cheat. No. Never cheat. Never cheat. That is the order of... Prabhupada and Krishna. Adi Purush. Yes. Never. They didn't cheat. They didn't do anything to cheat. Only Mohini Murti cheat. They did everything. They didn't take when the horse came, then Bali took, they didn't take. They just followed. They said don't be greedy, don't take anything, don't be agitated. You just sit, and when Mohini Murti, she ordered them sit over there, far away, And then she went to the demons. The demigods, they weren't thinking, oh, now the demons will get the nectar. No, they sat, they fought far away. No, please. No, it's not. No, this is not the lesson of Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean the logic of snake and mouse.
Yes, should I follow to this logic?
No. No, you don't follow. You are not. What is your position? Are you a kshatriya? Are you in charge of?
When we are spreading Krishna
consciousness, no.
We are a kshatriya.
Okay.
In Western countries.
You better not follow. You will be in trouble if you follow this logic. Okay, Damana Krishna.
Actually, nothing but.
Okay, anyway, we are supposed to act in the mode of goodness, and that is not. We're supposed to develop brahminical qualities.
Yes,
and no cheating. The snake and mouse philosophy is not for us. It is for the demigods and the demons, not for simple devotees. Yes.
Diplomacy
also not for, no, no. Kuti nati. This is a weed in the heart. Diplomacy, there are six weeds in the heart that come when you chant. So if you water this weed of diplomacy, then you will, you're watering the weed in the heart. Kuti nati. Jiva hingsa kutinati. What is the other one?
Nishidachar.
Nishidachar. Behavior unacceptable for a devotee. Nishidachar kutinati. Jiva hingsa. Labha puja pratishta. You want these labha puja pratishta. Kutinati is not for the devotee.
Kutinati means
diplomacy. Diplomacy. Yeah. When you become Indra, then you can use diplomacy. Not before. King of emperor of the world. Yes, we're just like ants. Adipurush. Last one, then we have to stop. Okay, wait for Adipurush. He was first. On? Comment on? Demigods being liberated. Okay, the demigods are office holders who stay for the duration of terms in their office, according to Baladev Vidibhushan. As for the demigods who oppose the Lord's desires, they only do this in conformance with His wish.
And in order to assist the Lord's pastimes.
And in order to assist the Lord's pastimes.
These demigods may appear to be materialists engaged in sense gratification.
These demigods may appear to be materialists engaged in sense gratification. It is only a false show.
In truth, they are transcendentalists fixed in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
In truth, they are transcendentalists fixed in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so when their terms of office expire, they all attain liberation. So what's going on here is a drama. It's a drama. The demigods are playing the demigods, the demons are playing the demons, and the Lord is playing the Lord. And that's what's happening. Okay. Yes, anyway, just don't cheat, that's all. Don't cheat anybody. Okay, Leela Madhuri, this is a very urgent...
Don't worry,
everything will be all right. Is that your comment?
I just want to add that things like
this. Oh, you can find that and then tell us.
Not for oneself.
Yeah, you'll find that purport... Anyway, you find the purport. It will be very helpful. Yeah, because otherwise we should be careful. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We're over time. Very much over time.